We have been, over the last several weeks, in a series on the church. And very plainly and very simply today, the Lord's Supper reminds the church. The Lord's Supper reminds the church. And what does the Lord's Supper remind the church of? The Savior's sacrifice. So the Lord's Supper reminds the church. Just a few observations from the text. First and foremost, Paul says this in verse 18. For, in the first place, when you come together as a church. They were coming together for the Lord's Supper. Now, they weren't doing it very well because they were selfishly getting their desires and wants in first. Many were trying to make a meal out of the Lord's Supper and going on and doing some various things. But notice verse 18 says, it's for the church. That the Lord's Supper belongs to the church. That's why we observe it corporately together. It's one of the reasons why I like to do it on Sunday mornings, because we have most of our church body gathered together. Not all, but most. And so the Lord's Supper is given to the church. That's a critical point. This isn't for individuals. This is for the body of Christ. Now, when you look at the content of the Lord's Supper, beginning there in verse 23, it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you." This all originated with Jesus. Paul is just delivering it to this church in Corinth. That the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The second point. Not only does the Lord's Supper belong to the church, but the Lord's Supper reminds the church. Do this in remembrance of me. You know, we talk and we joke sometimes about what we can do to remember something. Do we write it in the palm of our hand? Do we tie a string around our finger to remind us? No, Paul says we celebrate the Lord's Supper together because it brings us to the cross. It sits us down squarely in front of the cross. It gives us a front row seat. And we need that. We need to be taken back to the cross. We need to be reminded of the sacrifice and the price that Christ paid with his life. We need to be reminded of the agony of the cross. We need to be reminded of the suffering of the cross as Jesus bore the weight of sin's wrath upon him. We need to be reminded and not let that get out of our hearts and our minds. Notice also in verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." That word proclaim is a preaching word. The Lord's Supper proclaims the church's message, and the church's message, we know, is the gospel. So every time we observe the Lord's Supper, we're getting a sermon, we're getting a message for us. And I hope as you look at this, "Do this in remembrance of me," you're seeing this connection. That the physical act of eating and drinking is "do this." But you can never disconnect the physical act of taking the bread and taking the cup from the mental act of remembering, of meditating, and of reflecting. It is indeed the deep conviction that the bread symbolizes his body sacrificed for you, and that the cup symbolizes his shed blood for you. Let's pray. Father, this passage of Scripture tells us that we are not to approach the Lord's table in an unworthy manner, but we're to examine ourselves first. And Father, as we have a song of preparation, it's time for us to look inside and examine our hearts. Father, where do we stand with you? Maybe a long time ago we made commitments to you. Maybe a long time ago we said we believed on you. But if we were really honest this morning, would we not recognize how far we are from you? And Lord, when we come to the Lord's Supper and we see the cross, it convicts us. It convicts us of our lack of repentance, of our lack of remorse, of our lack of humility and of brokenness. And so, Father, show us the cross. Show us our sin. Show us what Christ did. And may the weight of that fall on us as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. During this song, you may want to meditate, you may want to pray, you may want to bow your head, you may want to come to this altar. Whatever the Lord leads you to do to respond in preparation for this moment, as we come face to face with our Savior through the cross, be obedient to that as we prepare. We started off our time together this morning with a song. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? And I think sometimes you can approach that question historically and say, well, of course I wasn't there. But as we begin to reflect, as we begin to enter into this beautiful act of God's grace and God's mercy, we do enter in and we go there. So the Lord's Supper is placing us there at the foot of the cross, giving us that front row seat so that we can see and savor and treasure the goodness of Christ. Many of the songs that we sing have this feature, the idea of leading us to the cross, the idea of taking us to the cross. Some of these songs are old, some of these songs are new, but all of them are powerful in their call to us to come to the cross. Hillsong in 2007 wrote a song called Lead Me to the Cross. It says this, Savior, I come. Quiet my soul. Remember. Remember redemption's hill, where your blood was spilled for my ransom. That's taking you to the cross. Everything I once held dear, I count it all as loss. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out and bring me to my knees. In 1978, Richard Baker wrote this song, Have You Been to Calvary? His question is this, have you been to the cross where the Lord Jesus suffered? Have you been to Calvary? Have you been to the place of redemption for sinners? Have you been to Calvary? And who could forget the Fanny Crosby 1875 hymn, I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. This should be our prayer for the Lord's Supper today. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. If you allow in your heart, in your spirit, in your mind today, the Lord's Supper to do what it's intended to do, you will find yourself leaving nearer the cross than when you walked in. Remember Isaac Watts in 1707, folks, 1707, "When I Survey the Wonderful Cross." He's calling us, see from His head, see His hands, see His feet. That as you take the supper today and as you hold the bread and as you hold the cup, oh, that you would see that crown of thorns. Oh, that you would see those nail-pierced hands. Oh, that you would see those feet nailed to the cross. See from His head, His hands, His feet. Sorrow and love flowed mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose such a crown? Matt Redman in 1996 wrote a song called "Once Again." It goes like this: "Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to death." And the chorus says this: "Once again, I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again, I thank you. Once again, I pour out my life." 2014, Chris Tomlin writes the song "At the Cross." There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Folks, that's how you take the Lord's Supper today. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you. But the song that really grabbed my attention this week as I was thinking about the Lord's Supper was George Bernard's song from 1912, "The Old Rugged Cross." And I want to pose these to you as questions as we prepare very quickly to enter into this Lord's Supper time. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross. Do you still love the cross? Do you still marvel at the cross? And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world. Listen to this. Has a wondrous attraction for me. I just wonder this morning before we have the Lord's Supper if you could say, the cross still has a wondrous attraction. Or has some of that wonder worn off? In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. Do you still see its beauty? Are you still captivated by its glory? Is it still a wondrous attraction for me? If it's not, the place for us to begin is to call on the Lord and say, Lord, through the Lord's Supper today, would you do that work in my heart and in my mind? That this would cause me to love the old cross. To love, and for that cross to be that wondrous attraction, that wondrous beauty. 'Twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Oh, as you hold the cup and as you hold the bread and as you partake of those elements today, would it not be your prayer, Lord, help me to be true to this cross and to what it means? Will you be true to the cross? And then that chorus, which is so powerful, talks about cherishing the old rugged cross, talks about clinging to the old rugged cross. See, when Paul talks about eating the supper in an unworthy manner, he's talking about being sloppy, being careless, approaching the Lord's Supper without any reflection, without any evaluation, failing to recognize in it the significance of the body of Christ. But a worthy manner is a manner that treasures. A worthy manner is a manner that cherishes and trusts and clings to the beauty and to the glory of the cross. So would you bow your heads and in an attitude of prayer and reflection, would you simply hear these questions put to your heart? Do you still love the cross? Is the cross still wonderful to you? Are you captivated today by His glory and grace? And do you find yourself even now clinging to the cross like it's your only hope, because it is your only hope? Father, would you speak through the supper today? Would you draw us closer to Jesus? Would you cause us, stir up our affections for Christ? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.